now. So I just wanted to say, you know, thank you so much for being willing to be a part of the College of William & Mary Hip Hop Collection. It's a pleasure to talk with you.
You too. Thank you so much for having me.
So to get started, would you mind just introducing yourself?
My name is Jasmine Denise. I'm a neo soul hip hop artist in Virginia, Norfolk, Virginia.
All right. Now, are you Virginia born and raised?
No, I was born in New York, Brooklyn, New York, in Bed-Stuy. And then I moved to Virginia, I could say, when I started middle school in Brandon Middle School. Then I went back to New York and I came and I graduated from Torwood High School in Virginia Beach.
Okay. So, did you have family down in Virginia? How did you get from Brooklyn to Norfolk and Virginia Beach?
Well, my brother was in the military. He was in the Navy, and he got stationed out here in Virginia. And he just called my mom, like, you know, the place is called Virginia Beach, and it's so much different from New York, and it's safer. And we came to visit for a summer. We went down to the oceanfront, and that's what got us, the oceanfront. With the clean water and everything like that, we was like, wow.
Talk to me a little bit about adjusting from growing up in Brooklyn, living in Brooklyn and New York, to then all of a sudden relocating down to Virginia.
I felt rich, you know, because I came from the projects in Brooklyn, and then you came to Virginia. It was a kind of a culture shock because, you know, it was so much different at that time here. Everyone was so nice, and there wasn't a lot of gunshots and stuff from where I grew up at. You know, that was an everyday thing. Running from bullets, dodging bullets, walking home from school, the school bus thing was new to me, you know, and just seeing different types of people, and the schools were different, you know, because in New York school, you go to metal detectors. Out here, it's totally different. So, you know, it was different. I heard the birds chirping. Yeah. I didn't even know what that was. And I woke up in the morning, I heard the birds chirping. I didn't even know what that was.
Okay, so, I'm sort of interested. What's your first memory of hip hop?
Wow, of me doing hip hop or just hip hop in general?
Just hip hop in general.
I'll say the graffiti. That was one of my first memories. Watching, you know, them tag up and do graffiti and the breakdance, because my brother used to pop rock and breakdance and stuff, and my sister, she was an MC when I was younger, and I used to be a beatboxer, and I was like 8, 9 years old. So I was a beatboxer then, and, you know, Grandmaster Flash and Sugar Hill Gang and MC Light, which is one of my, you know, I can say the mentor in hip-hop as a female, the MC Light and KRS-One, Kool G Rap, and, you know, those are like my first, you know, that's like my first thing I remember about hip hop. The graffiti and the breakdancing, really.
Okay, so, I mean, you mentioned the fact that you were beatboxing for your sister, but what were some of the other, was there some other first moments for you as you started to perform and get, you know, and become sort of active in the culture?
Well, yeah, you know, in New York they had these things called jams. And they had thrown them in a park, and, you know, my sister be rhyming, I'll be beatboxing for her. And then when I was, like, 10 years old, I started writing. So I wanted to, you know, and my brother was a DJ, and he had a little studio in an apartment. And then when he moved to Virginia, he brought his studio equipment here. He brought a lot of music while he was in the military. He was spinning, and we were recording. I remember recording as a young girl, beatboxing for her, and then I started writing. And I remember I helped her write one of her songs that she was recording.
Okay, so when you're going to the park jams in the summer, was this, were you hitting them up in Brooklyn, or were you heading up to, you know, like Spanish Harlem, going up to the Bronx?
Oh, it was in Brooklyn. They have jams. They call it jams, and they have them in different parts, like 57 Park, 81, 400 Hart Street. Because also my sister, I have another sister who was like a dance teacher, and so she used to choreograph shows, and they used to perform at 400 Hart Center. And I used to be in those shows as well, where we did the dance, and they showed graffiti, and we did the ramen, and the beatboxing and singing and all types of things like that. But what happens at jams is, you know, the DJs bring the turntable out, everybody come out, you got different dramas. I remember Big Daddy Kane in them there, LL Cool J. I remember all of them, everybody at the jams, ramen and freestyling battle ramen. Because I started off as a battle rhymer, because that's what everybody did at the gym. So that's how I really started, besides beatboxing, and then helped my sister write that song. Battling is what I was known for at one point when I first started as a youngster. I was just battling. And you see them doing the battle rhymes, and then they did the battle with the dances and stuff like that. So it was real good.
Now, and then when you, moved down to Virginia, was there, was there that same sort of competitive culture battling with hip hop down here as you had experienced in Brooklyn?
Not when I first got here, but as you know, I got to know people. You know, I was one of the few only girls at one point battle robbing in school. You know, we battle robbing school with the lunch in the lunchroom, outside of the lunchroom. Mm-hmm. And as I got older, I met this guy named Malik, and he used to take me to the upper deck. The upper deck, it was a place in Portsmouth. I think I was like 17, 18, and I used to enter in all the battles. And that's when I met part of DMP, you know, the group DMP. I met them and everything like that. I got linked in with Two Type Productions. It was another group called The Big Shots. And the, one of the former members of The Gypsy, there was a female artist who there was there. I met a lot of people there. You know, we go there and we did the battle. And it was at the upper deck in Portsmouth, so that was cool, you know.
Okay, so, you know, in terms of the, what types of hip-hop culture were going down in Virginia when you were in middle school and high school?
Well, in middle school, I mean, I didn't see that much, you know, besides me battling in the lunchroom against guys, no girls, because they wasn't really, too, I didn't know any girls that well, not the way I do anyway. And so, you know, just that's all I seen here. I didn't really see too much until I got a little older, not middle school wise, but when I got a little older, you know, then that's when I started seeing the different things, the different values in different places. They used to have this little center, Zoids used to be open, everybody would go, and Ron, and then DJ Scientific, my brother taught him, and, you know, I started going along with them, him and Tony Crumble. And they used to, you know, do the little shows where you could rhyme. So I started entering a lot of open mics and talent shows and things of that nature.
Now, you bring up a really interesting point that I'm glad you did that I want to talk about. But just your experiences as being a woman in hip hop, because there's, you know, traditionally it's seen as like a male-dominated culture. So I'm just curious about what your experiences have been, what your thoughts are on being a woman in hip-hop.
I mean, it's hard. It's really hard to be a woman in hip-hop, especially if you're not, you know, I don't want to say it like this, but I have to be honest. If you're not the sellout type, or if you're not selling sex first and your lyrics later, it's real hard to be a woman in hip-hop, and that's just the truth. But whether they know it or not, there's women out here in this game that are way better than some of the men that's in this game. Who can battle some of the men in this game and just demolish them, miracles. You know, but with that stigma on us as being females and women, if you're not selling sex first and lyrics later, it's kind of hard.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but as for me, I always just stuck to my guns and who I was, because I felt lyrically it's enough. You know, I don't want to go down that road as sex first and lyrics later, because then you're pulling away from the hip-hop culture. Hip-hop music is about culture. Your everyday life experience, things that you go through. It's not really about what they make it out to be now. You know, it's not, I mean, everyone wants to get paid because it's like a job.
Right.
But, you know, it's not about what they make it in, you know, because nowadays you got women and men that's rhyming, and they're not even rhyming about what they live in. They rhyme about what they're being told to rhyme about because that's where the people believe that the big bucks are. But, you know, as of now, when hip-hop is turning back, rap music is turning back into hip-hop music, which is all about the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned it. You know, I did a lot of stuff with KRS-One, like with his hip-hop movement. Every May 17th, he has hip-hop appreciation week. And, you know, and I always go to Jersey. I go to Jersey May 15th every year, and I perform, and, you know, they have the teachings of the culture and the hip-hop and things of that nature, you know?
I mean, that sounds good. You want to, and then, would you mind talking a little bit more about what the event is that you go to on May 15th?
On May 17th, I leave here May 15th, but on May 17th, there's Hip Hop Appreciation Week. They go in different places, but Hip Hop Appreciation Week in Paris, when it happens from like May 17th, I think, to like the 21st. And what you do is you bring all different, you can perform there. They have all different things. All different types of venues and things of that nature, and they teach you about hip hop music, and they let you perform, regardless if you're a real hip hop artist or a rapper, as long as you're, you know, talking positive and not just about somebody else, OD'ing or something, you know, you're welcome to come in. So there's a reputation. I was also on the women's of my family of everything.
Hello?
Yes, did you hear me?
Okay, you cut out for a minute.
Oh, wow, I'm sorry.
No, big deal at all. Where it cut out was on just teaching the culture and then inviting everybody to learn about the music and perform, regardless if they're hip hop, if they've been performing hip hop or invested in hip hop before.
Yeah, and that's what they do. It's a week event. You go to eat and perform. You learn about hip hop culture. KRS-One comes in and speaks. You have Mr. Green from Channel Live, he was there. I was on a Woman of Hip Hop panel with Hurricane G and Lady Luck and Lady Ruckus. You know, it's a learning experience, and it helps you with your music lyrically, because you get a sense of meaning. Like, you're not just doing this because that's what everybody else is doing. You're really learning what hip hop means.
Okay, so I mean, this is a good moment then to just to sort of have you define hip-hop. What is hip-hop? How would you define hip-hop?
I say hip-hop, to me, is a culture. It's our culture. Meaning that, and it's not a black, white, green, purple thing either. Because the way I see it, music is here to heal the land and heal the people. I don't care what you're going through. If you throw on a phone, it can help you through whatever you're going through. And I believe that was the purpose of hip-hop, because in the beginning, if you listen to it, you know, it was kind of conscious, to the point where that was the only way people could get out what they were going through or what's happening in their neighborhood or their hood or whatever, however you want to put it. Mm-hmm. And I just believe it's just a way to express yourself in regards to what you're going through, put you on that platform so the people that wouldn't hear you, they're going to hear you now because you got music behind you. Like poetry or a discussion with music behind you. And that's what I feel hip hop is.
Okay, so I mean, you know, so far I've talked about it, and you know, you mentioned that you're definitely really big and heavy on lyrical content. You know, so I'm kind of curious, who are your influences then, in terms of that have helped you to sort of create your own style and help you chart your own vision?
Well, with me personally, because I don't know, I'm like the normal female nowadays, so I would say like MC Light, Lauryn Hill, KRS-One. Let's see who else. Eve was a good female artist. She's good, but in my career, I would say it's more of a KRS-One, Lauryn Hill, MC Lyte, Nas. You know, because he does the storytelling and he puts that lyrical content. And so when you listen, you're like, yeah, I hear. It's not just a bunch of words thrown together that rhyme that don't make no sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, so, yeah. So how would you describe your style?
I mean, I don't know. I guess it's because I sing also. So I would say more of a Lauryn Hill-ish, you know, rhyming-wise, just rhyming. I don't know, sort of like Buster mixed with a little, I got a little bit of everything in me. You know what I'm saying? Because I try to give good music that people will listen to and that it'll help as well as it'll make you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not like, you know, I like common sense, but I'm not a conscious mama.
Right.
But I make sure there's a message in everything I say.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I put it like a Lauryn Hill-ish type, you know, because I sing in mom. So, yeah.
Now, I mean, you mentioned earlier that, you know, you're sort of neo-soul hip-hop. Would you mind just sort of describing that, what you mean by that, and how that comes out in your music?
Okay. Because I sing, and my style of singing is neo-soul, like Jill Scott, Erykah Badu-ish, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then I rhyme as well, so I put those two together.
Mm-hmm.
I know a little rock. You know, I try to hit all genres in my music,
mm-hmm.
so anyone can listen to it and anyone can feel it. You know, so I say neo soul, hip hop ish, you know, with a little rock in it. You know, something for everybody to hear.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So within that, I mean, would you mind describing your creative process? Like, how do you go from concept to finished product?
It's funny because the song will come before the chorus, like the lyrics will come before the chorus, and in my mind I'll hear a beat, like the beat comes up in my mind and I just write. I don't write to music, you know, you got a lot of people who need a beat to start writing. I don't do that. When it comes, I just start writing it down, and then as it develops, and when I'm finished, then the chorus will come, and then after that, the beat that's in my head, that's when I'll go to the producer and try to get them to lay that beat the way I hear it in my head.
If not,
I know I'm seasoned enough to conform whatever I have written to whatever beat that they can come close to.
Okay, yeah, so would you mind talking a little bit about what that working relationship is like with the producer?
Well, to me, whatever producer you use, I feel that they need to understand you and your music. Because the way I see that, if you're not understanding me and my music, you're not going to work to the best of your ability. If we're not on the same page, you're not going to work to the best of your ability. Because that's like in anything. If you're working and you're not feeling it, you're not going to give me 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to find people that I can mesh with that at least has the same vision that I have, regardless if it's about my music or just their beat. That way I know, you know, if we're collabing in this thing, it's him doing a beat, I can put my input in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, because my brother, as I told you, he DJ, but he made beats also, so I know a little something about that. And so if we can mesh and collab as in becoming, you know, infused with each other, then we good money and we can, you know, get them creative juices flowing and get that beat the way it needs to be done so I can lay that song down.
Mm-hmm. Now, has anyone that you were ever tried to, like, you know, talk down to you or be like, you don't know what you're talking about because you're a woman or anything like that?
I mean, no, that has never happened.
Well, that's good.
I don't play those type of games.
Yeah.
I don't carry myself in that way I don't carry myself in that way to where, you know, they're going to look at me. I carry myself so they look at me as an artist, not as a woman.
Okay.
And it's hard sometimes, but I keep it, you know, I keep the relationship between us as producer and artist right then and there. I don't let it cross any boundaries, because when you cross those boundaries, that's when you mess up. That's when the statistics come in as you're a woman, so you're going to listen, or you're going to do whatever I need you to do, or whatever I need you to say to get this beat. That's not how it works. I keep it artist, producer, so that way we don't have those problems. And if I got to have those problems, I won't work with them.
Right. So, who are some folks, some Virginia folks that you've worked with?
Well, right now I'm working with DJ K-Ski.
Mm-hmm.
With the hitmaker DJ mixtape that they're throwing out. I worked with a producer called Flex. Gotta give him, you know, his props. He's one of the top producers I know out here. That's local in Virginia.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
His name is Flex. From Link Up Productions. I worked with J-Max. I used to work with Two Type Productions. Let's see who else. I worked with... what's their name? I worked with Mac Miller.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's a couple of other different people that, you know. Mike Wonder, he's really good. He does beats and... the engineering and producing is because, you know, there's a difference from just getting someone that makes beats and that can record you than having someone that can make beats, record, to produce and engineer.
Yeah.
So I try to get people that can do the engineering and production as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it doesn't make sense to pay somebody to record you, then you got to go pay someone else to engineer it.
Right. And our... in terms of the folks, are they, you know, located, I mean, so you work with folks in Norfolk, Virginia Beach, Richmond?
Can you say that again?
Yeah, the a lot of folks you're working with, they're from all over Virginia. It's not just Norfolk?
Yes.
Okay. And how do you get hooked up with everybody?
Well, I network. You know, you go to one studio, you know, you hear tracks, you know, you got people all networking on the social media now. Mm-hmm. So, and then I do shows. So when you go to a show and they hear you, they automatically give you a business card and let you know that, you know, they do beats and they do music and things like that. And then you link up with them. I do a lot of networking.
Would you mind sort of discussing some of your previous projects and also stuff you're working on right now?
I wouldn't mind that. Right now, previously I performed and worked with people such as, can you hold for 1 second? I'm sorry.
Yeah, no problem.
That previously I worked with people such as I'm doing right now the Hitmaker DJ project with them. I'm also collabing with Queen Hot. She's a reggae artist out here in Virginia. Flex is her producer / manager. We're doing this compilation CD. It's a reggae, neo-soul, hip-hop CD that we're doing right now in that project. It's going to be called Double Q. Also, you know, I've worked with Wolf Syndicate before, Killer Army.
Mm-hmm.
So... I worked on the IBC Boxing project to where I did the Star Spangled Banner and everything for them for their fight.
Uh-huh.
Opened up for Wu-Tang, Kool G Rap, been in the Cypher Den with Sid Vicious and Lady Star. So I try to hit all types, you know?
Yeah.
I worked with Ramont and friends. He's local in Virginia. He does his thing with, he does a lot of promoting and hosting, and he does this thing, you know, he comes and sing. And through him, I've opened up for Carl Thomas. You know, I worked with a best kept secret organization.
Mm-hmm.
Through them, I opened up for D26 when they came to Hampton.
Mm-hmm.
So I've done a little bit of things right now. Right now, like I said, I'm working with DJ K-Ski with the Hitmaker DJ. hit maker DJs, and I was doing a little commercial for this new energy drink they got coming out because they liked one of my songs. So I'm working on this commercial for this energy drink that's coming out that we call Sex Drive. So I'm working on that right now, the song for that. Doing the Virginia Reggae Awards in Hampton, it's going to be May 4th. With Queen of Hearts, I'm doing that well because, like I said, working on this project, and she's a reggae artist, and I'm on her, you know, songs and collabs on the song. So she's performing for the Virginia Reggae Awards 2013, so I'll be linked into that. I've also done the Miss Valenz Awards, Hip Hop Awards in Virginia. As a special guest on there, so you know, I try to keep myself busy.
It sounds like it. So, you know, within everything that you do, how are you able then to get your art out to folks for them to hear?
Well, right now I got a good promotion team. I got the Hitmaker DJs. They promoting me. DJ K-Ski's promoting me right now. Got a fan page. Got a Facebook page. Got a Twitter page. Right now we're doing it so. DJ KC is now in the mix of getting a distribution deal with Interscope for trying to, you know, try to pitch the idea for his distribution with Interscope. But as for right now, you know, when I do my performances, I don't always sell CDs either. I give them out.
Yeah.
You know, I give them out. You know, I do the footwork. I give CDs out. I go on different shows. Right now, March 29th, I'm going to be at 45 Degrees. A partner of mine, his name is Walt. He's going to be performing there, so he asked me, he just called me this morning, asked me to come grace this stage. Give him 30 minutes of his time, and then any show I do, I always do promotions for my music. You know, when I'm helping other people, you know, I always pitch myself in there, and, you know, I get my music played on 103 Jam on the Sundays and things of that nature, so I just try to keep myself, you know, a lot of people know me out here, so I just try to keep my music out so to keep the buzz going.
So, you know, I'm curious about your connection with Queen of Hearts. Is there a big reggae scene in Virginia?
There really is. There's really a big reggae scene in Virginia. So, what it is with Queen of Hearts, she's my sister.
Okay.
She's my sister. But she's also a reggae artist. And she just opened up for Capleton last month when he came to the Nova. I think it was last month or the month before last when he came to the Nova, she opened up for him. And, you know, she's doing her thing. There's a couple of other reggae artists out here. I'm also, she's doing this compilation with Capleton and them in Jamaica. You already sent the music and I'm on it. So, you know, the reggae scene out here is digging in what people think. You know? And it's of all colors, and I love it. You know, all types of reggae music. So, you know. Also, I'm linked in with the Berkeley Reunion Soul Fest that's coming this year. I'm linked in there. I'll be performing there. And I'm doing this project with him where I'm helping, his name's Cute Sills. I'm helping him out with the Airfare Fest for 2014 because they're not doing it this year, but they are doing it 2014. So I'm helping him, you know, with the entertainment part, and I'll be performing as well. But they having a Soul Fest in September of this year, and I'll be performing.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, that sounds cool, too. Yeah, so tell me a little bit more about what's going on with soul music in Virginia these days.
Well, there's a lot of talent out here with the soul and neo-soul. You have Montego Bay do it on Saturday, Vermont and Friends are 45 Degrees on Thursday. You have a lot of the Aqua Lounge is doing it at this time. That's in Virginia Beach. You have a lot of different artists. You have bands. There's a band called It Is What It Is. They're one of the best bands out here. You know, I mean, it's growing faster than what people would think. It's growing real fast. So you know, the soul scene is getting real good out here. So they're having a soul festival September 14th, I believe. September 14th through the 17th or the 19th, something of that nature. I don't have the date down yet because I just got this information. And so, you know, they're going to have international artists as well as local artists coming down. And that's in September.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's in September. Where is it? In Virginia Beach? In Norfolk?
It's going to be in Norfolk.
Okay. Okay, yeah, just curious about the soul scene, you know, because Norfolk's got the history of Norfolk soul and all that.
And, you know, they do something called Berkeley Reunion every year where they let local talent come, but this year they mix in the reunion, and they mix in it on the same weekend as the Soul Festival.
Okay, with the Berkeley Reunion?
Yes.
Okay, that's cool, because one of the things we want to do with the collection is to, I mean, we're using hip-hop as our lens in, but we really want to explore history of you know, Virginia's African-American musical history, and also sort of, you know, Afro-diasporic musical history, so bringing in the reggae as well. So, I mean, that's good to know that stuff's out there, because, I mean, these are folks that we also want to talk with and get them into the collection as well.
Okay, so
in terms of all the various stuff, you know, all the many projects that you're involved with, what is your relationship with sort of like the with the music industry? Like, where do they come into play in all this?
Well, right now, I'm just finishing this album up. And I have DJ Kiski, he's well known in the industry, and he's pushing it to the point where he has talked to some big, you know, people in the industry, and they just waiting for me to finish everything. Industry-wise, I've opened up for a lot of people in the industry, so that's no problem there. I've also did a show, a dedication show to Keisha Cole, our sister Nephi. When he came down here, he was at the Broadway, it was a couple of days ago, and he had Lil Stratsky here, Delicious was here, for Flavor of Love, and Terrell Carter from Women of a Mad, I mean, yeah, Madea's play.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he was here, and, you know, it was good. Industry-wise, I want to break into the industry, but I want to break it right.
Right.
I don't want to have some of the problems that artists that just come in. I'm not a one-hit wonder, so I don't want to come in as a one-hit wonder. And I don't want my girls to just be thrown together, and I don't want to have to go to the industry. I want them to come to me.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's sort of anticipating where I want to go next, because I'm just curious about, you know, what your thoughts are on the history of the way that music industry has treated artists, and specifically treated artists that that are either hip hop artists or, you know, are influenced or informed by hip hop.
The big thing about getting in, I feel like, I don't want to say they treated them bad.
Mm-hmm.
They have in some cases, you know, it's a business, and I understand that. But that's why I'm glad, you know, when you're getting in this business, you gotta know what's going on. You know, you gotta have your lawyer, have your manager, and you gotta have people in your corner that genuinely, care about what you're doing, about the music you're doing, about the project you're doing, so you don't get thrown short. And then you have to be, you know, business. The business side is a big part of the music.
Yeah.
It's now, you know, it used to be 80% talent, 20% business. Now that role has switched to 80% business, 20% talent. Because you have talent everywhere, and they have so many ways of finding talent nowadays. So, you know, that switched.
Yeah.
And saying that, you know, I just truly believe from us not knowing, as artists, not knowing and not reading contracts and not trying to figure it out, because, you know, a lot of people, when they get signed, they broke. Especially hip-hop artists. They find them in the hood, and they're broke. So when you tell them, I'm going to give you such and such and such, a lot of times they sign and don't read the fine print. Like, you're not going to get anything else.
Right.
And I'm not trying to bash anybody, but, you know, Teddy Riley's from Virginia, and a lot of people, you know, they got calls for the songs they wrote. But them songs make millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And they got nothing else but a Lex. Mm-hmm. No, I don't want this. I don't just want a Lexus. I want my royalties. I want my rights. You know, as artists, you know, some artists don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past, it was worse. They really didn't know because it was just silent. And that's why they sold made millions of dollars, but they didn't. So, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And so, okay, so then how do you view yourself in terms of hip-hop history and culture?
Well, I mean, I can live, I breathe it, I sleep it, you know, because it's my culture. Anything in my songs, if you, you know, hear my, listen to my music, anything in my songs, it's telling you. It, it has a message that, just in case you've ever been through it, but it's telling you what I've been through. I don't rhyme about selling drugs and drinking and stuff, but that's not what I do. You know, and, you know, I have a song called Love Game, just letting you know about things that I went through, you know. I have a song called Misunderstood, it's letting you know, you know. And I always mix the hip-hop, the neo-soul, a little bit of rock and a beat, and, you know, throw a little chanting in there for anybody to hear it and anybody to relate to it. And that's what hip-hop is supposed to be about. It's supposed to be music that you can relate to.
Yeah, yeah. So, so in terms of, yeah, I mean, you know, it's coming through that in terms of thinking about hip hop as a culture, as a way of life, which is not, you know, a lot of people these days, they just want to think about hip hop as just rap music.
Exactly. That's why people say, oh, you rap? No, I'm an artist. I'm a lyricist. I'm a hip hop artist.
Right.
I'm not a rapper. Because I believe rappers are the overpaid actors.
Right, right, right. Okay, so, you know, want to switch gears a little bit, and curious about running down some of the various clubs and venues in Virginia that you've performed at or have seen shows. Like, what are some of the important ones that we should have on record?
Wow, I've done the IBC Boxing when I did the Star Spangled Banner, got the standing ovation because I neo pulled it out.
Right.
I didn't want to do it. I neo pulled it out. I got standing ovation. I opened up for Carl Thomas at Bango with Vermont and Friends at the Hampton University. I opened up for Day 26. I also did the Gala Affair, the Black Gala Affair. That was at Hampton with Trey Songz was there a couple of years ago. I did that as well. I mean, it's so much. Locally, I think I've touched most of everything out here. That's why I just go a lot out of town. But you know, like I'm doing this show March 29th. We're gonna videotape and things of that nature. But I mean, I believe the best. I love when I opened up a Day 26 at the Hampton University. I love when I did the Black Gala there because, you know, I did hip hop. The people really loved it. Trey Songz, like, you know, the show at Broadway with Nephi Keisha Cole, Sister Lil Scrappy, Delicious, and Terrell Carter from Madea's Plays, and what's it called? Madea's. Because that's what you play, right?
Yeah,
I'm still calling him a deer, like that's his real name, but yeah, John Carter from Diary of a Mad Black Woman, that was a real good show.
Yeah, yeah.
And Nephi cried, and that meant something to me. You can do a song rhyming and singing, and someone break down and cries and grab your hands, that does something to me, you know?
Okay, so, you know, within this, within the Virginia scene, what is your place in the scene?
What is my place?
Yeah, I mean, like not like place, but like how do you see yourself in terms of other folks in Virginia that are within the hip hop community and the music community?
Well, the thing is, a lot of people that's in the scene now don't do hip hop music. A lot of people do rap music, that's in the thing now. And the people, you know, you still have people like Joe Sincere from Fleet. They call the Fleet, from the Fleet fam. You know, he still does hip hop. You still have people out here doing hip hop, but majority of this thing now, most of it is a lot of rap because you have the younger crowd coming up and they're doing what they see on TV.
Right, right. I mean, is that a way to think about it in terms of like the younger folks coming up, they gravitate towards rap because that's the way it's been sold to them versus understanding about hip hop as a total culture.
Exactly. That is fair to say that. Exactly.
Okay. So, I mean, you know, curious about this, and I think that especially for the fact that you've got you know, sort of Brooklyn to VA roots, but I mean, how would you compare hip hop between the two places?
Wow. I mean, I still.
Okay. Okay.
But, you know, it originated in the Bronx, Brooklyn, soon to five boroughs. I'm not going to get in that debate where it came from the South Bronx, it came from Brooklyn. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to touch that one. But, you know, it originated. That's where I learned it. You know, that's where the seed was planted at. Mm-hmm. So, comparing, I don't want to compare it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not saying Virginia is no less. Because if it was, I wouldn't be. I don't live in New York. I'm from New York, and everybody knows that. But I've been here for a while. It's where I do most of my stuff, you know. So, you know, I went VA all day, but at the same time, I can't even compare the hip-hop scene there because it was originated in the five boroughs, I'm going to say it like that, of New York. You know, it's still more, you got more of the real hip-hop there.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Yeah, that's
more, it's more there. You know, they still have battles in New York.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they still take it there. They still got break dances in New York. You know, the hip hop culture is not just about the music. You gotta put the breaking in it and the graffiti and all of that. They still have all of that. So it's quite different. Not saying it's less here, but it's just more of the pure there.
Okay, because down here it's more rap based as opposed to all the elements.
Exactly.
Okay.
I'm thinking nothing from Virginia because you still have some wonderful and good hip hop artists here. But that's just what it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so going off of that, then is there does Virginia have its own type of sound?
Yes, Virginia does, and it's an unheard sound that people really don't know. And I wish. You know, we'll get to a point where it really be heard. So, Missy was one of the towns, and I'm going to give it to Missy because she came out and she did her, you know, she did her own sound. She didn't come out and, you know, copy what everybody else was doing. She came out and did her.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to another one on the beat, he did him. Pharrell is another one. He don't conform to what, you know, what everybody's popping to. They generally have, there's a sound here. It's just truly, it has its own sound here. It's just we haven't been heard of worldwide yet.
Mm-hmm.
For real.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say the clips because they switched up, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But Missy kept her, and that's one thing I like about her. She kept her.
Mm-hmm. So how would you describe the state of hip-hop culture and music in Virginia?
It's growing, and it's growing all the time. And when we get to that point to where we push each other to, this is how I see it. If all the artists and stuff in Virginia, you know, producers, if they came together and did a real big compilation and really pushed behind each other, you know, right now, honestly, it's like in a hungry state. Everybody's trying to get on.
Right.
So, it's not like one person is helping the other. In some cases, you have that, but, you know, everybody's for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But if they collectively came together and pushed that VA sound out, and then you know how the West got their own sound, and Midwest got their own sound, New York got their own sound, and the South got their own sound, Virginia has its own sound. And it's like a collage of everything you ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfect.
Okay, yeah, so, you know, it sounds like you're speaking on the fact that, that there's still some, you know, fracture or disconnection between, like, Richmond and Norfolk and Newport News and Virginia Beach. Like, everybody's sort of doing it for their own little area and not necessarily thinking about statewide.
Exactly. If they collectively did it and put out a compilation and push that and had good distribution to where they was doing it. So Virginia, you know, because, you know, every year or two, the style of hip-hop changes. You go from New York to the West to the Midwest to down South, mm-hmm. and then now we have the pop.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like hip-hop. It's really hip-hop right now, not hip-hop, hip-hop. So, you know, it's there right now. Virginia has its own sound, and if they collected came out, that's like Wu-Tang, for example. Wu-Tang members, all of them wasn't from Staten Island. You had people from, you know, different boroughs in New York. They collectively came together.
Yeah.
And if Virginia could take that and use that and collectively come together and push like they should push, it could be off the map.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it'd be a whole different sound.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I want to switch gears to just sort of the last little bit, and I'm curious, and this is more just about thinking about hip-hop and how it's broadly and in terms of your life, but I'm curious, how has hip-hop impacted your life?
It has helped my life. It has, because, you know, you can't always tell people what's on your mind. The hurt I feel, I can't always get it out.
Mm-hmm.
Once I put that pen to that pad and let the pad walk, is all she wrote.
Mm-hmm.
It helped me to relieve myself of stress and agony or just anything. You know, you got, sometimes I just have this vibe or this new sound that I want to get out. And every producer you can't go to or every person you can't go to and get them, oh, I hear this new thing.
Mm-hmm.
You got to show them. So what I do, I don't tell no one. I record it, get it right, and then I let them hear it. And then they did this. But, you know, so it's like a way of communication for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it helped me to, you know, release. And it has helped you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So what do you think is, is hip-hop's impact on American culture?
Can you say, what do I think, if hip-hop got back to the culture?
What do you think hip-hop's impact has been on American culture?
Well, in the beginning, it was good. Well, hip-hop, it's good. It brought awareness. You know, it brought awareness. It did. It really did. It brought awareness to American culture. Because, you know, at first, you know, all you've seen is what things were portrayed to be.
Mm-hmm,
especially
mm-hmm.
since you have a lot of hip-hop artists that come from the hood. So you see what it was portrayed to be. That's like West Coast hip-hop. When it came into effect, they let us know about the police brutality.
Right.
You know, no one was talking about that. They let you know about different things. Through hip-hop, you know, through a couple of songs, you hear, they telling you, you got people who tell you, look, be careful about your kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's going on in the world.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to hip hop and you listen to, if you have children and you listen to this music, you know what your kids is out here doing. You know what your man is out here doing.
Right, right.
You know what your woman is out here doing. It gives you little pointers and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So looking, you know, let's say thinking about 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years down the line, what do you think hip-hop's place will be in your life?
Well, I think it'll still be there. The same way it is now, because, like I said, hip-hop is culture. So all it can do is grow, because as I grow, and as my life grows, the music will grow.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just hope we still have hip-hop music and everything will turn into rap.
Yeah.
Be all stuff. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, in terms of my questions, my little cheat sheet that I use to work through everything, we hit all the points I wanted to. However, was there anything that I didn't ask that I should have, or anything that you'd like to add as well?
Yeah, the hip hop community also has another section. You know, you do have gospel hip hop.
Oh.
Yeah, I did want to dabble in that too. I do gospel hip hop concerts, youth events, youth extravaganza. When I go out and I do Stop the Violence rallies also. I'm linked in with best kept secret from Newport News, they stopped the violence. KRS-One also had to stop the violence movement that out there. And, you know, there's a segment of hip hop that brings out, you know, the spiritual side.
Yeah. Let's talk about it a little more. I'm really glad you brought that up, because this is, you're right, I didn't mention it, and I think first person to talk about that actually brought it up, too. So, I mean, in your mind, what are, has the spiritual side, gospel side of hip-hop always been there from the beginning, or when did it start?
I don't think it's been there from the beginning. I'd say in the past 10 years, 10, 12 years, because people were scared to do gospel hip hop because they thought people wasn't that stable. It wasn't of God. But if you look at it, it's nothing but telling a story. Not even a story, telling your testimony or telling what God has done for you or telling somebody how they can find God with music. It's just not the traditional type of music.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, it's behind a hip hop.
Right.
It's also for kids because it's positive music. And, you know, instead of people complaining about the rap music that they say is influencing the children and influencing the youth, you know, that gospel hip hop is another segment that they can put in because it uplifts them and it lets them know you don't have to be a gangbanger, you don't have to do drugs, you don't have to do this to live. You know, you don't have to do that to be a hip hop artist because you have Lecrae, you got Sean Slaughter, you got Deshaun the Golden Child, they do it. And they major, you know?
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. They major in it. You might not make it. And Lecrae and, what's the other guy there? Keaton Jones. You know, they doing it on a big scale.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to talk about selling drugs and crime, killing people, just to make it in the music industry, you know? Because that's a lot of people's goals, either sports or music.
Yeah.
So that lets them know that, you know, that segment, and again, I think it's culture, because with that music, you can hear it. And feel good, this is good, just as well as it was Yolanda Adams singing the same song.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, because I redid I Won't Complain. I just did it hip hop, neo soul hip hop, neo soul hip hop. Yeah.
I was just going to say, and in terms of performing some of the artists, are they, I mean, are we talking like, is there a big Virginia scene?
I mean, you have gospel artists out here. You got a big gospel hip hop artist. You got the break dancing. They do break dancing and cross dancing and all of that to the beat. And you know, they just make sure they put that spiritual side into it.
Mm-hmm.
So that hip hop culture is here in Virginia.
Okay.
I've done a lot of places in Virginia. I went all the way as far as the Eastern Shore and Dinwiddie and, you know, different parts of Virginia with the gospel hip hop at one point. You know, doing little rallies, like I said, stop the violence, and then I have people from churches that call me to the youth extravaganza and things of that nature. So yeah, it's big here. You just gotta find, you know, people that just keep their ear to it, but it's here.
Okay, yeah, that's great. I'm really glad you brought that up. These are these are some folks too that I, you know, that we would like to get in touch with too and invite them in to share their history as well. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay, so any other stuff?
Say that again?
Anything else?
Oh no, I think that sums it up.
Okay. Let's see. So I'm going to stay in the line, but I'm going to just sign off on this, and then I've got a few things to talk with you about.
Okay, that's fine.
So again, Yasmin, thank you so much for adding your voice to the College of William & Mary Hip Hop Collection. We really appreciate it.
No problem. I appreciate it. I'm glad you asked.
All right, cool.
All right.